Hello, my name is Jenna. Thank you for listening to our trans voices. Please bear with me while I greet our usual French-speaking listeners. Bonjour, je m'appelle Jenna, merci d'écouter nos voix trans. Exceptionnellement, cet épisode est entièrement en anglais, parce que notre invité n'est pas francophone. Nous allons procéder au doublage et publierons une version française dès que nous pourrons. This episode is very special to me. Well, they always are. This one is because it's the first time a movie production company contacted me to be part of a new release press tour, MUT, called 24 Heures à New York in French. And for once, it's a real trans movie. It's written and directed by a trans guy, starring a trans guy playing a trans guy with trans friends playing by trans people. Full credits. Why is that so hard? And it just happens that the movie is great. I was nervous before meeting the creator of MUT, so I enlisted the help of the wonderful Charlie Fabre from the Représentants Collective and the One PCT podcast, who is a trans man specialized in transmasculine representation in cinema. With his help, there were now two of us being nervous before meeting Vuk Lungolov-Klotz. And Vuk was amazing. He was kind and open to all our questions, and radiant like happy artists can sometimes be. We have decided to share this complete exchange so you can judge for yourselves and enjoy it as much as we did. My first question would be, how would you describe yourself to someone who has never met you?
Wow, I'm so used to people just asking me questions about the movie. I feel like a parent that like no longer matters, like everything's about my child. That was like a whiplash. You're asking me as a human being, like,
yes.
Who am I as a human being?
Yeah. Whew. We're going to focus on the movie
later.
Yeah.
Okay. Who am I? How would I describe myself? If I had to describe myself quickly, I would say I'm a pretty playful, honest, hardworking, direct human being. I'm an intense but tender lover, I would say.
All right.
Was that good?
Was that from your like Tinder profile?
No. I think recently I was hooking up with someone. I was making out with someone at a party. And I'm a pretty intense person when you're talking to me. But then after we kissed, they were like, wow, you kiss so like gently. And I was like, yeah, what were you expecting? Me to like kill you? Like what?
Yeah.
And I was like, of course I'm gentle. I love love. What are you talking about? So that just stuck in my head. Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember the first time you heard of the concept of trans identity?
I kind of remember the first time I heard about the concept of trans identity. I think it's weird when you're a kid and you're in the internet. I'm 29, so I was born in the 90s. I grew up in Chile, so Latin America. And I think I stumbled upon videos on YouTube of trans men recording their voices changing as they were taking testosterone.
Yes.
So, but I don't remember how I got there. I just got there and I was like, whoa, this is possible. This is insane. What the fuck is happening? And I thought they were so beautiful and it was like so emotional and engaging. And I was 13. And then I remember the first time I saw a trans person on a movie was this really bad movie, this American movie called Click. And it wasn't a good representation. It was like, this character is jumping through time and they jump like 5 years ahead and they're looking for their assistant and someone's like, oh, Sarah's not here anymore. They go by, I don't know, Charlie, and the camera zooms into this like trans man just laughing with people and the character looks at them and just screams no and then like runs away. And I just remember I was also 13 and I remember just me in the theater being like, wow, this is horrible. I never want to come out if this is what it's like. But it took me a while to come out. But that was when I first, YouTube was my teacher.
And so when you, at 13, when you saw that and you said you didn't want to come out, do you mean you had already related that to yourself?
No, I don't think I think I hadn't related right away to me. I think I'm a twin. I have a twin sister. Both my parents are artists. I think I was allowed to be whatever I wanted growing up. I think I didn't realize I wasn't a man until a little bit later, I would say. Or a cis man until later in my life. But I also had like a tough upbringing, so there was other things that I had to figure out before I could come out as trans. I left my home. I left Chile to come to the United States to go to college, but also to kind of have a freedom to investigate who I was. So I think once I had dealt with the first troubles in my life, I could be free to be myself.
How did it go with your family, if you want to talk about it?
Of course, of course. How did it go? I came out at 19. It went different ways. I think the people that I was expecting the worst reactions from were the best. My grandmother, who is a pretty Christian lady, she was the best. I had spent the summer with her. I was very depressed. If it's okay to say, I was kind of on the brink of suicide. I couldn't really walk. I was an overexerciser. That's how I dealt with my anxiety. I would run and run and run, but I broke both my tendons or injured them. So I couldn't walk for a few months. And that just left me in bed for 3 months thinking a lot. So I was like not happy, not understanding what I wanted to do with my life. And I was in Chile. But when I went back to the States to college, I called my grandma and I was like, I have to tell you something. I'm not a woman, I'm a man. And my grandma just said, "Thank God you found your way because you seemed so lost." It was so nice. It was so nice. I was like, wow. So she was amazing. My twin sister was amazing. She was like, yeah, we all kind of knew. All my friends were amazing. But my mom and my dad, who are a painter and a filmmaker, artists, had a really hard time. They had like 4 years of, what if you detransition? Why are you choosing this? You know, the classic, like,
The kind of
I'm
questions
afraid for.
we hear in the movie.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And but just questions that when you're a kid, which is what I was 19, I didn't have the answers for myself. And I think that's always stressful, where it's like, why are you putting so much fear in my head when I'm really just trying to be myself, when I'm really just trying to be happy? So can you just be happy for me? But yeah, I wish everybody reacted like my grandma. She's like a magical person. So. Yeah. That's like almost too good. Yeah.
I don't know if it's like a boring question. We can just like move ahead, but how is it to have a twin sister and transition?
It's great. My twin sister is a photographer and also a film producer. So when I came out, it was her senior year of college, and she did a photo series on me.
So Mika is a person in the credits.
Yeah, Mika is my twin. I love Mika a lot. We have an interesting relation. I mean, an interesting life. We were born in New York, left to Chile when we were two, and then our dad was still here because our mom's Chilean and our dad's Serbian. So we would come see our dad to the United States before he moved back to Serbia when we were 11. And then we went to Serbia. It's a very like messy lifestyle. But with all that change, my sister was always there. So we were very, very tight. Like we were traveling unaccompanied minors. It's technically the term when you travel on a plane alone with like an assistant just like looking at you.
Yeah, and the
And we
thing
were
around
doing
your
that.
collar, and
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
I've done
So we
that.
were doing that by the age, I think, of like 7. But she was always there, so we always took care of each other. And I think it was pretty much the same when I came out as trans. She was just very ready to take care of me. She was, I think, a little stressed because we were both in the United States. We moved out of Chile together, and we didn't have any other family. So I think she felt a bit of a burden to be both parents at once and to like take care of me through as I was coming out, and also trying to explain to our parents like why I was okay. Like she was really trying to mediate everything. And then when I got top surgery, she was there at the hospital, and she was there when taking care of me and my wounds and as I was healing. So just a really incredible person overall. I'm very, very lucky that I have a life partner in a way. Like I wasn't born alone. I was born with a friend.
Great.
And she's amazing. Yeah. And she's also like bisexual and like very queer herself. So, it's
Yeah,
great.
you're gonna be all completely different. Yeah. You've talked a little bit about your medical transition. How was it to manage your like administrative transition in your international situation?
My, you mean like my names and my gender and all that, and my passports? I actually have not changed those, because I've changed my driver license in the United States, but I haven't changed my passports because I have three, and I'm terrified
Of
of
losing them.
being literally different people with different passports, because I already have strange names and whatever. It's that one, that part is kind of complicated, but I'm already afraid traveling, and I'm afraid of like someone telling me that a passport is not mine and taking it away from me. So I think now it's legal in all three countries to change my gender, so I do want to look into it, but in the beginning, 10 years ago, it wasn't. So I just thought, okay, whatever.
I'm guessing you have a window right now where it's legal in the three countries and you have to do it before the US change their mind.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
The US is the least problematic right now. I think a lot of things are changing very quickly, and it's terrifying in the United States right now. But it's actually Germany who is very strict, and like I have to undergo kind of a not a medical like checkup, but a psychological checkup. And I don't know if I want to do that right now.
I think I saw just today that they were trying to improve something about that, and that
Would be
there is
great.
there, yeah there's a law that's supposed to be voted in the next weeks, I think, that
Okay.
should allow it to be just on declaration.
Okay. That'd be amazing. Then yeah, I
Yeah.
think that if that happens, I would try to do all of them at once. Yeah.
Yes,
And I think it's the right time. I'm 29, so I can enter my 30s with new everything.
new passports, yeah.
Like the situation in France has changed a couple of years ago, where you don't need to prove that you have medically changed to change your passport, but basically judges do whatever they want anyway, even if the law has changed otherwise. Do you want children?
I want children. I do want children, whether they're mine or they're like cosmical children, whether I end up being a professor in a college or I end up adopting. I think I will have some form of children.
You even refers to your movie as your child.
Yes, I
Very
do. I do. I love, I mean, I think my movie kind of talks about this, but I'm gonna keep talking just about myself for now until you ask me questions about the film, because it's kind of nice just to talk about me. It's weird. I've been talking for a year straight about Mutt, and I love it, but I think my sense of identity is so entangled in the movie that it's nice to just talk outside of that. That's part of why I'm going to Paris for 3 months to write my next movie, and also just to, I know a little bit of French, very little, but I'm going to a country where I can like kind of completely unplug from Mutt and just be in a new place, new language. Anyways, yeah, I love mentorship. I think mentorship is very important to me, and I think taking care of each other is very important. And I was a child that my parents didn't give me much space. I was very great. I was very lucky to have my twin sister, like I was saying before, and together we took care of each other. But I think taking a child seriously and taking all their needs and their interests seriously is very important. And I just when I'm I work on set and lighting department a lot, and when I get new people under me working under me, I don't know. I just very quickly go into like professor mode, and I'm always very eager to give tiny lectures and just like teach. I just love teaching and caring for people. So I think that translates well into having kids. I would hope.
I feel like it also carries well into being a director.
Yes, to all of
It's
my
kind of
children.
needed to be able to do that.
Yeah, I feel like being a director is being a dad, a lover, and a therapist all at once.
Yes.
It's very tricky, but also fun.
Has your sexual or romantic orientation changed with transition?
Not really. I think, no, not really. I think what's changed is the comfort that I have in those relationships.
Yes.
I'm pansexual. I am more attracted to masculinity in terms of partnership, but I like the first person I ever fell in love with was a woman. She broke my heart. Maybe that's why I'm terrified of women. But yeah, so that's kind of stayed the same. I think how I feel in them and how much more comfortable and seen I feel in them has changed. Sorry about
What? I'm
the
sorry. No, okay.
problems.
What is your biggest personal pride?
Pride, my biggest personal pride. I'm gonna be really cheesy, if that's okay. And I think my biggest personal pride is being myself. I think I'm of the belief that every moment of your life, you are doing your best. And that who I was at 13, at 17, who I am now, that's the best I can do. And I'm proud of that version of me, that I've been taking care of myself, that I came out as trans, that I have completed a feature film. I feel like I'm a person that is capable of moving mountains. So that's, I like that about myself. Yeah.
Do you consider yourself an activist?
Yes.
Okay.
I do. I do consider myself an activist, and I think this year has kind of showed me a lot of things that I thought were a part of making movies. But at when, in the beginning, when I chose to make movies, it was to change things. And there's a movie, A Fantastic Woman. If you've seen it, it's a Chilean movie. It's very, very important. And that movie literally changed the law in Chile. Once we won an Oscar, the very right-wing president had to acknowledge trans people and congratulate them. And we were lobbying for a law to change the right to be is the law, and it's to change your gender marker and your name and your passport. And that changed. Like, we were waiting 8 years for that. The movie won, and like, there was a different idea of what trans people were and that they could contribute culture and all of these ideas. And like, of course, we've been doing it for years, you fucking idiot. But so that was really exciting when that was happening. I was already in college, and that's kind of what I wanted to do, I think. But there's always the fear that making movies is a very selfish, self-centered thing. And I think that fear has completely gone away for me this entire year. Every screening I go to and every person I talk to in the audience, whether they're trans, they're a family member of a trans person, or they're a completely a person that has never met a trans person, I'm like, yes, this is activism. I'm making you feel less alone. I'm making a conversation happen in your household, and I'm making you feel like now you have a trans friend. So I'm more comfortable and less stressed about how I'm contributing to activism, trans activism.
Are you hoping that your movie could have the same kind of impact that the movie you referenced?
Don't think we'll win an Oscar, but I think my movie, if I can be bold, I think my movie will have more a real impact. It's made by a trans person. It's the version of of transness that we see in my movie is comes from my intimacy with people, and it's, I think it's very based in reality and truth. That movie was amazing, and it stars a trans woman, but it was written by cis men.
As far as we
And
know.
as far as we know, true. Thank you, thank you. That's true. Everybody's trans until they tell you they're not. You're right. But I think also trans masculinity is a little, there's a little less of it on screen these days. So I think in that sense, it is having an impact, and yeah.
Have you worked in other activism fields, like with ONGs or done field work, anything?
Not more than like protesting, to be honest. I in high school, in Chile, there was a lot of kind of an uprisal that culminated in the social explosion that happened a few years back. So like when I was in high school, we were trying to get free education. It was just a lot of that, and no occupying, not really. Sorry, I've been
No,
a little
it's not.
focused on
You're acing the
making
test for
decisions.
now. Don't worry. Yeah,
Oh God. Okay.
it's not a
Yeah.
quiz.
I
There is
think,
no wrong answer.
yeah. No, other than like protesting and occupying different spaces in New York City for like Black Lives Matter and stuff like that. No. Yeah.
What
I
is
think
you?
that's an interesting con sorry, I think that's an interesting conversation to be had for like a trans person, but we can continue.
Yeah, I'm always amazed at the kind of different answers I have about the like the history of activism with people, because there are
Yeah.
lots of different versions, and some people sometimes apologize, like you did, almost about not doing something, but it's very interesting to make them realize that they have devoted their whole life to another kind of activism, and that's it's of course as valid and important. So
That's exactly, that's what I was going to say, like in terms of, well, organized activism that is outside of myself, that doesn't have to do with transness. I think that's what I was apologizing for.
yeah.
But in terms of transness, I talk about it every day. And now that I have this movie, I'm a spokesperson for transness in the United States and outside of it. I think what's cool about my movie is that it's, I'm half Chilean. I have a Chilean actor in it. It's playing in Chile right now. And I think there aren't that many filmmakers that, there are a good bunch of filmmakers that leave and make movies outside and then come back to the United States, and they get a lot of respect for that and prestige. And I like that I'm the trans one that did that. And there's a lot of gay ones that do that. But I feel like I talk about transness nonstop. That's a lot. And I love it. I just sometimes
That was
get
about to
flat.
be my next questions. Like,
Go for
does it make you happy or proud of, you know?
Yes, it makes me very happy to talk about trans issues and to be trans. I love being trans. I think I was meant to be a filmmaker in this life, but more importantly, I think I was meant to be a medium, an in-between for people, whether it's me as a storyteller to you or me in a classroom. I think I'm good at presenting information in a very kind and approachable way, and that's kind of how I talk to people when they ask me questions that they shouldn't be asking me. I have less patience for those people these days, but I'm very happy to teach, and I think activism as a trans person living their life is continuously teaching people, and I really like it, and I'm grateful that I was born in 1994 and that I get to be out and proud, and I get to make work. And I premiered at Sundance and I premiered at Berlinale with a movie centering a trans character, and I think that's badass, and I want to be taken as seriously as a trans person in those themes, but also as a filmmaker and an artist. And like, I want to hold multitudes. I think that sometimes as trans people, we're one dimensional to others, and that's absolutely, if anything, I have more dimensions than someone who's cis, just because I've seen both sides of the coin, and I've been treated until I was 19, 20 as a woman in society, and now I I'm treated as a man. I mean, that's insane information. I'm like a fucking spy. Like, I don't have dimensions. Like, are you kidding me? Anyways.
You've referenced several times the classroom. Do you
Say
were
that
you a
again.
teacher before, or are you planning to be after?
No, I've never been. I just did a guest lecture at an MFA program, and I really loved it. And I would love to be a teacher. I just I think I want to make movies first and then go back. I would love to go teach in Chile. Yeah, but I think it's exciting to stay connected to the youth and to keep talking to them and seeing what they're doing. They're really cool.
How is your support network?
My support network, it's great. I'm pretty blessed. Even though my parents took a second to come around, they're very supportive. My dad's a filmmaker. My dad's a Serbian filmmaker, which is very strange. He liked my feature film script before he let me come out to my little brother. So it's like we could talk about movies, but not the trans issue. And it just took him a few years. Now he just could not be prouder. I have great friends. I mean, I'm doing okay. My life is nice. I get to forget I'm trans, which I think is a privilege, if that makes sense. Yeah. And I'm single now, but for the past 4 years, well, I've been single for a year and a half, but the past 4 years before that, I had a few trans partners, and that was amazing to like date another trans person and fully forget that you're trans, like in conversations and situations, and kind of be like, wait, why is it so much harder for us to do that? Oh, right, because we're trans. Right. I love those moments. And I have a lot of queer friends. I think I have more queer friends than straight friends. But yeah, I have really good friends though. My two of my best friends have come up to me and have said, like, when you came out, I thought about it. I thought about my gender, and I thought about whether or not I was trans, or I wasn't letting myself be who I was, and I realized that, you know what, I'm a cis man, and that was really sweet, you know.
I think it's the best kind of cis people when they have actually asked the question and not just like followed the usual path.
Exactly. Yeah, it's beautiful. But I am an artist, so both most of my friends are artists and pretty intuitive, present people.
How do you take care of yourself?
I don't. How do I take care of myself? Sorry, you're that
No, you're.
question after making my movie. Go for it. What were you gonna say?
I'm going to say you're going to be so easy for me to voice over because I think I gave the exact same answer in the podcast a few weeks ago.
Nice. Yeah, I think that's a hard question. I'm the type of person that thinks I have to create in order to wait, I want to say this well, so give me 1 second. Spanish is my first language, and sometimes I don't know if this happens to you when you're speaking English, but you can't even remember the French word. Like, you're just kind of left with like, wait, why, where did everybody go? But I guess I can say it wrong now, and then maybe I can find a better way to say it. But I'm the kind of person that feels like I have to work in order to make my life worthy, or I have to, but by making stuff, I'm worthy of living, which is completely wrong. But it's just kind of how I see things. So
Like
it's
you're
stupid, but I
measuring
think I
your
take,
worth by your
yeah, like,
productivity, something like that.
yeah, which is very capitalist. It's bad. But yes, and at the same time, because I'm an artist, I think I can to separate that from the capitalist need to produce. It's just kind of, I'm also an Aries, and I feel like I need to feel alive. Every day is my last day on Earth in my mind. So I want to keep creating. So I think I take care of myself by making art and sleeping. Yeah. I don't know if that's a valid answer,
That's a
but
very good answer. There's no bad answer, really. I'm just like
I need to take more care of myself, I think. Yeah.
What
Taking
do
this
you
trip
do
to
to
Paris is super important.
indulge yourself, pamper yourself? Is that something that comes to mind?
I do, yeah, I'm a hedonist through and through. What is life for if not to feel pleasure, in my humble opinion? I love my friends. I really like spending time with friends. And that can mean anything. That can be a trip to the beach. That can be going out for a drink. I just like hanging out with people. I really like listening to people's problems and seeing how they're doing. I think awful. I like cooking. I like eating. I like kissing. I like fucking. I like talking. I like making jokes. I like traveling. I love going back home to see my family. Yeah, it's all good stuff.
You look generally so happy. He's just like a player.
I am. I'm also like, it took me 6 years to make my movie. We shot it less than a year ago. So today is August 24th. Our first shooting day was August 29th. And then we premiered at Sundance in January. And tomorrow is the last like premiere, because we've been open in France for 2 weeks, but we're opening here in New York. I mean, we opened in New York this past Friday, and we're opening tomorrow in LA. So I'm at the end of this journey, and I just feel all this weight kind of lifting. I'm gonna keep talking about Mutt, but a big part of the work is like already done, and I get to go investigate my next project. So I think I'm in a really good mood. And I'm generally a happy person.
Yeah, it's like a usual question that I ask my guest is, I'm going to give you four words. Would you use them to describe yourself, or would you use other words? And they're happy, proud, tired, and serene. And
Serene, interesting.
yeah.
You can use those words. Maybe serene, I would change. And proud is a word that is really good, but also can be very hurtful, depending on what you're proud of, right? I think, but proud, yes, you can use that one. Serene, I think I'm a very chaotic person, but I think other people usually think I'm very sweet and calm, and it's just not true. People calm me down. I think when I'm like talking to someone and I'm occupying the space between us, it's pretty serene. I think I'm a very present person. I think that comes across as calm, but it's chaos in here. So I would change it to, well, what's the word? What's the word, like, not dichotomy, but like something that can hold two things at once?
Scales.
A scale. That's just balance again.
Yeah.
Maybe I am. Yeah, you know what? Just, yeah. Great words. You're not wrong.
How do you?
I think I'm more electric. I think I would just, there's a lot more electricity to me that I think is missing in those words. I'm like, I'm creative. I'm a pusher. I'm the kind of friend that helps you clean your entire house, and we throw away half your clothes because we try them on and then go buy more. And then, I'm the kind of friend that likes to be get really tired in the beach so that we can just lay on the couch at night and have a glass of wine. I think I like extremes.
How do you picture yourself old?
Oh my God, hopefully alive.
Yeah, that's a good beginning.
Sorry.
This is not always
That's great,
the
yeah.
answer, yeah.
What do you consider old? What's old for us?
All right, okay.
Is
That's
50s not old? 60, I think you're getting old, right?
yeah. That's
70 is
a lot
old.
about how you perceive yourself, yeah. So.
Yeah. My parents are 60, 61 now, and it's interesting watching them get old and still be the same person. Honestly, alive would be great. Because of global warming, because I'm trans. Every time I only have two friends that are trans men that are older than 40. One of them is 50 something. And every time I have dinner with them, I'm just taken aback by how necessary it is to just sit across an older trans man and see them laugh and exist and just kind of be an example of what it means to be old. So I actually have a small vision of what it means to be an old trans person. But I picture myself making movies and just enjoying life, hopefully, and yeah, kind of doing what I'm doing now.
Yeah, you make a
Is that
beat.
a good answer?
It is a great answer. I
Okay, great. Am
just
I
for a cousin.
passing your test? This is a test, right?
We'll see, we'll see. That's I feel like it's a very good point about, the visibility of older trans people. Like
It doesn't exist. Yeah.
it was I still remember like my first it was anyway.
No,
Continue about
quit.
you.
Tell me.
All right,
Okay,
okay.
fine. But
You
then you owe me a
know,
coffee when I'm in Paris, so.
yeah, exactly. What's her name? The landlady in Tales of the City.
The older lady. I don't know what her name is, but my friend is in that show. Yeah, I don't remember what her name is.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and it was like I was about 20, and it was the first time I was actually having the idea of an older and trans person. And
Yeah.
okay, so that's possible.
It is
So
very
they're not just
possible.
victims in crime theories.
Exactly. I think as a society, I'm going to talk about maybe the Western world, but as a society, we don't show old people in general in movies or in culture. We're very adverse to death. We really don't want to talk about it. But when it comes to, but then humans, normal, not normal people, cis people, they're not normal. They're fucked up. Cis people have their grandparents around them, their mom, their dad, their coworkers. Life around them shows them that they will have a good life. For
See?
us,
Oh,
because
sorry.
we don't have that, but go, yeah, no, you go for it.
I feel like it is changing at the moment. Like for the past 5 to 10 years, there has been lot more movies targeted at old people, like showing, I don't know, like Sylvester Stallone as an old man, because there's a lot of more old people with money in the Western world, and they're the target now.
And also, film has been around for what, 110 years? So us as a society are also kind of aging with it in a sense. There's that movie 80 for Brady that came out in the States. The four leads are women in their 70s. I haven't seen it, but it's just really sweet to see old people and then to see old people falling in love on screen or
Yes.
just doing anything. I really like old people. I think they're so cool. So, but as a trans person, there isn't much of that around. Silas Howard, Ivan Coyote, those are like the guys that I can think of. So it's a little sad. I'm kind of a dinosaur. Even though I'm 29, I transitioned, whatever that word means to you. I think it's kind of a stupid word. I came out. I think that's the right word because transition is something you continue to do and you can look however you want it to look. But I came out 10 years ago, and when I came out, I usually say I was the first trans person I had ever met, but a friend has been correcting me, and she was like, "You met me," and I was like, "Yeah, I met you for an hour. I didn't know you," but Eve is a friend of mine, so I knew one trans person for 1 hour before I came out at 19, and I didn't know anybody else. So when I came out, people were coming out to me in college, and that was really sweet. And even though I'm only 29, I do feel like I've had a decade of being out in a way that feels different. Like, I think there's a freedom in how you come out now. There's less of a, I think when I was coming out, it was a little more of like, I have to pass right away so I don't get killed in the street. Now, I think there's a freedom to be, especially in New York City, where you can be non-binary, where you can present however you want, where your gender has nothing to do with where, if you're feminine or masculine, which is what I think. But yeah, it does feel a little old, where I'm like, in my time, You would cut your hair and you would put on pants right away. Now it's like, no, you get to do what you want.
This is the first tagline for the podcast I'm recording you for was is it still is every person that breaks their shell is the first and only trans person they know, and they're alone in the world. And like the goal of all this is to take care of them.
Very alone, and that's so true. It's but
It's
it's
a
cool, I think. Sorry,
no, go
go
on.
on. Oh, I was gonna say, I don't know if it's relevant, I'm just talking at this point, but it's amazing. I love you asked me if I was happy. You've asked me that a few times in different ways, being myself or with what I'm doing, etc., with activism. And my favorite thing is helping other people come out. And the most recent person is a friend of mine who is an actor who read my script before we met. We had met once very quickly. We had friends in common, but they read my script and they were like, "Oh my God, I have to help this happen." And they helped me shoot like a concept video. They helped me find actors to do a table read. And after a few months, they came out to me and they were like, "Your script kind of clicked. It made it all, it made the moment kind of click for me." And then it was like, "Now or never." And they're an actor, which I think is an interesting conversation when an actor is trans and they've had a career in one gender, representing one gender, and they're afraid of not having anything. So that's been very beautiful. We live together. They're like my best friend. But that has happened a few times with different people, and I love providing that space and providing 10 years of knowledge to someone that is in day one. It's really great.
I love how you've done the transition to my last question. Would you have a piece of advice to give to like a brand new trans person?
A
Or
little baby.
yes, or what would you have liked to have known before?
Two very different questions.
Yes.
To a new trans person, man, a lot of things. A lot of things. First of all, congratulations for being incredibly brave and for coming out of the matrix. But I would say that being represented. The joy that you feel when you're truly represented by yourself, when you walk into a room and people see a sense of who you are, is uncomparable to anything before. And I think the kind of mental prison that being in the closet as a trans person, it has a big impact on you. Even you don't realize like how angry you are. I think transitioning, coming out and being truly who you are makes you an overall happier person, but it also makes you a better human being towards others, because once you stop focusing on what's wrong inside or what's wrong, like what's making me not understand the world, you can finally start to open your eyes to everything that's in front of you. And I think that is amazing. So I guess it gets better is what I would say, which is a terrible thing to say, but it does. And I think
A good
when
flashback.
someone calls you beautiful, when someone calls you beautiful and you're out, you really feel it. You are beautiful. You believe them. And I think that's what sucks. You're always beautiful, but you finally start to believe people when they tell you that.
I don't
That's what I
think
would say.
it's a terrible or cheesy thing to say to someone. It gets better because I am a volunteer in a local organization, and every week I welcome new trans people. And one of them came to me like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and the first question they asked, even before we sat, was, "Does it get better?" Literally, this one.
That makes me so sad.
Yeah, me
It
too.
does.
And I can't and I don't cry in front of them. But
You
as
can't? Why
I don't
not?
I would say I don't allow myself because
Yeah, I feel like that gives them the wrong message.
yeah. Yeah, so I was just like holding it, and of course I told them it gets better. But I think it's a very important message to pass, because it's not obvious when you are all entangled and you feel like you are the bottom of everything and everything looks complicated as fuck. So
Yeah. It gets better. It does. I mean, look at us. We're doing great. No, but it does get better, and yeah, and it's great. What was the other question? Not that I've talked enough, but
The
what
thing you
was
would
the other
have
one?
liked to have known
The
before,
no.
earlier in your life. What would you say to a younger self?
I'm an interesting case though. I'm kind of like a rocket. Like I just went for everything. I didn't even see, like, oh, I got top surgery when I was 20. Like, I left my country when I was 17. I kind of ran away from abuse. So I think what I would have said to me, or maybe to another person, is a question to me or to another person. Does it even matter?
It doesn't really. It's like
Yeah.
how you want to answer the question.
I mean, I would just like the same thing, that it gets better, that you're doing just fine, that you're doing great, actually, that you're doing your best.
A good one.
We're all doing our best.
Yeah.
People are very hard with themselves, and it sucks to watch, but we're doing okay.
I finished the sort of personal questions, but I usually find some more when we're just like talking, so I can
And then you edit this, right?
I'm sorry?
You edit this, right? And then I speak French magically, right?
I think I haven't like taken a decision yet, but I think some people would be very happy to be able to hear this interview in English too. So there will be two versions.
Sweet. I can't
Yeah.
wait to hear the French one, though. As I learn French, I want to one day fully understand. Cute, very
Well,
cute.
I do have a you said you were coming to Paris for 3 months to write and prepare
I
your next
am.
project. And is it
Yeah.
just because like it's a place where you can like disconnect from everything, or does your project have anything to do with Paris?
My project has a French character in it. That's not why I'm going. I just like France, and I've always wanted to learn language. I think Spanish is my first language, English is my second, and I think I've been lazy up until now. It's like, oh, I know two languages, it's fine. And French has always been the one language that I've wanted to learn. I have a German passport. I don't want to live in Germany. If anything, I'm a quarter French and a quarter German. If I could switch passports, I would. But I'm trying to investigate. I want to get away from the States, but I'm also trying to investigate how I could have a closer relationship with France and with film there, and hopefully make friends. I think I have a port in New York. I have a port in LA. I have a port in Chile. I have places I can like be feel safe and at home in. And I want to start seeing if I can do that in France, and just make friends and colleagues, and just yeah, be a stranger in a strange land. But how is France with trans people? Am I gonna be okay? Because
It's
this doesn't seem very good.
complicated. It's easier when you pass, because a big part of the violence in France is social violence. Is the one you can face on the street or when you're looking for a job or an apartment. There's kind of a lot of discrimination, but that's whether you're trans, gay, Muslim, or anything. So basically, it sucks.
I
A
feel
lot
that
of.
from a legal point of view,
Yeah, that's what they are.
France is one of the best countries in the world in terms of helping you with like paying you for a medical transition and and protecting from discrimination on paper.
Yeah.
On the other hand, we're starting to get the same kind of movements as in the UK or the US about moral panic in the press. And we don't really know how it's going to evolve.
Yeah, in the press and
Yeah.
political movements. And
No.
also, it's improving in terms of the medical treatments and the medical access you can have. So more and more doctors are being formed and are welcoming trans people. And it's kind of easy to get access to your treatment in the at the pharmacists. So yeah, it's good on this one.
That's nice. I was surprised. I did an interview that was publicized, publicated. English is my second language. Published. There we go. And they put the like thing on Instagram, and I was just very surprised by the comments. I think the title was "Trans Characters." It's like necessary for trans characters to be represented by trans actors, and there was a lot of likes. There was like 15 100, but there were like a lot of comments where people were like, what is this, a dictatorship of the minorities? Or so our actors are supposed to change, shouldn't they represent anything? And I was like, that's not the fucking point. Like, read the article first of all, you stupid person. But and I was just surprised by that, and I had been a second since I had that reaction to anything I had said, but it makes sense. I think in the States, as an artist, you're just more protected in a bubble, in New York or in LA. So that was just like, wait, how is this news to you? Like, of course trans people should be representing trans people on screen. And you know what? In 200 years, when it's For me, it's all about job equality. Let's say that in 200 years, or maybe 50, if you want to be super progressive, trans people are doing as many roles as cis people, and they're doing roles that aren't just trans, this and that. Like, sure, we can start talking about it, but right now, every single role that is a trans role is taken by a cis person. So, like, we can't even have that conversation. Like, sure, we can get into philosophy and this and that, but like, no, like, it's just, yeah, of course. Anyways, I was just surprised. So that was like, wait, why am I going to Paris? But
Yeah.
I'll be okay.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
will be here to welcome you.
Yay. That'd be nice, honestly. I don't want to push this. And if you want, I would love to get your email after this, but I'd love to hang out
Yeah,
when I'm
sure.
there. It would feel nice to have trans people around me.
Yes, we can find lots of people,
Yeah,
lots of trans people around us.
there's plenty of those.
Great. Yay. That makes me happy.
I have
Makes
a
me happy.
question about the movie, and then I can let Charlie talk because I like I've talked a lot. Is that the title in English is Maps, and
Yes.
have you heard, do you know the title in French?
Yeah, it's 24 hours in New
How do
York.
you
Yeah.
feel about that?
I feel fine. We talked about what it would be. Let me be concise. I think it's a fine title, and I think whatever gets people in the theaters. I made the movie. I don't necessarily know how to sell the movie, so I just left it up to whoever was making that decision. And I trusted that they were like, New York sells in France, and I was like, sure. And I think what we want to kind of do is trick people into just coming to see this movie that aren't interested in trans issues and just want to see New York and be like, ha, gotcha. So I'm okay with that. And then, but Mutt is a mixed race dog, and the only way
Yes.
you could say that is bedacht, right?
Yes.
Which is a pretty abrasive word. It's a little too aggressive, and I think there's bastard in English, and then Mutt is it's calm. It's just about being a mixed dog, but
It's a
it's
lot more
before
affectionate.
the.
Yeah. It
It is affectionate. It's still,
can
when used
be.
as a person. Yeah, it is affectionate, but when used for a person, it gets a little bit like not great. So there's still a little bit of that edge of like taking a word that's used against you and using it as armor, which I think is a really great thing to do. But that was just a little intense. And I just didn't know. I was trying to ask them. We also, they wanted to name it, to meet you again or see you again. And I was like, okay, we're going somewhere. This could be something. But at the end of the day, 24 hours in New York is fine,
I
and
think
the
it's
people.
it's quite usual in the way titles are translated in France is to try to reference another movie. That's something that's going to because there has been like the 24 hours in the life of a woman and 24 hours in Paris, and there has been a lot of things like that already. So I think it's the goal. How would you say that mud was a way to reclaim a word as an armor for you?
A little bit, not a little bit, a lot. I'm pretty mixed. I grew up in Chile. In a way that's hard to talk about because I don't think I deserve space in this conversation. I'm white. I'm a white person from Latin America, so I don't really have anything to complain about. But there's still a sense of homelessness, of not belonging. Of when I'm in Chile, when I was a kid and I didn't really know English very well, people would talk to me in English. And when I would come to the States, I had a really big accent and people would ask me where I was from. And I just always felt very, very homeless. And I think for me, that word just fit. It felt nice to be a mutt.
Was it used
And in
against
Chile,
you?
no. No. I have been called a bastard though. But not mutt, no. Yeah. What I like about Chile, the Spanish we speak in Chile is very hard to understand because of the accent. That's one thing. But then there's a lot of words in Mapungun, which is the native a tongue of the Mapuche, which are some of the people that were native to Chile. And very much like Catalan and Spanish from Spain, they're very mixed like that. We have a similar thing. So you get a lot of words from that language. And one of my favorite words, and this is everywhere, this isn't a dictionary, this is bougie people, this is, it doesn't matter where you are in your social scale. The word quiltro is the word that we use, and it means mutt. But I just love that word quiltro, which is from Mapungun in our Spanish language, was the word that holds mixture, right? And I always love that, and I actually have it tattooed on my body. So I just thought it was very comfortable as a word for me to hear it, and as a concept.
Well, it's I don't know how it's relevant, but it's like watching the movie. I was wondering about the title because it's not like there's not like a big emphasis on the mud part of the character, and so I was wondering if it was more like referring to you than to the character,
Well,
and
the character is mixed, and I think as a trans, he's mixed in so many ways, right? I think for me, mutt is about being in between everything, right? And I think as a trans person, you're in between things, whether you acknowledge it or not, or that's the way people see you. As a first generation American, the way that he is, he's a mixed race person. So I think he's just in between a lot of. He's in at the crossroads with a lot of different concepts, so he's just a mutt. And even though we don't say it in the movie, I think Americans, it's hard to find someone in America who isn't a mutt. So I think for me, it was also about how do I talk about transness and its sheer humanity, right? And connect people that might not feel that they could connect with the concept. But now they realize we're all always changing, and being trans is a very visual way of representing that change. It's a very hard social way of representing it, if that makes sense.
I it resonated a lot with me to combine the two concepts watching the movie because I'm half Vietnamese and
You're a mutt.
yes and I have a French name and a Vietnamese name that was given to me by my grandparents. And my Vietnamese name actually means the path in the middle. Like it's actually written with the Chinese symbol saying middle. And that was like perfect to be like half and half and trans and like, I
That's
don't know.
so cool. That's so badass. I love it.
Yeah,
I
this
love
is going
that.
to be a tattoo one day.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I was able to keep my name in a way. I have like the male version of my given name, which is, well, Vuk means wolf in Serbian. So I was able to just switch it.
Nice. Charlie, do you want to go on?
Yeah, but hi. I feel a little guilty being the one who is going to bring you back to your movie.
That's okay, that's okay. I'm in LA for this. It's all my life is. Soon, September 3rd, I travel to Paris. September 4th, I will be there. It'll be a different.
Oh, okay, so that's
So
really
super soon.
soon.
Yeah, like
Yeah.
next week,
Okay,
basically.
nice.
So yeah, so it's okay.
Good.
I can do this.
Okay, one last time. I have to admit, I did not look at your resume or at what you did before. So I don't even know if Mutt is your first movie or if you have done. Okay, it's your first. Good.
Yes, it's my first feature.
Okay. And I think my question is, you've said you're so entangled in this movie and there's a lot of you in it. And you've also talked about how exhausting it can be to always have on your mind that you are trans and to have it so linked to you. So in the stories you want to tell after this one, do you want to talk about transness? Do you want to talk about something else? What would be your topics of choice?
I'm always going to continue talking about transness, whether it's directly or indirectly, because I am trans, right? So my point of view will always be trans. I'm currently writing two features. One follows a trans man over the years, and the other one is very fucking weird, and it's a weird erotic thriller with like magic realism. None of the characters are written to be trans, but I think in the casting process we'll open it up to things like. It's kind of, I was gonna say inclusive, fuck that word. But the concept still is quite queer. It's a weird concept, but I think only a trans person could write what I'm trying to write. I want to explain more of the movie, but it's hard and I'm like still working on it, so I don't
Yeah.
want to talk too much about it. But I think the idea of belonging, the idea of otherness, of being in between, and the idea of exploring body and home are always things I talk about. Always, always, always. And I think those are very linked with a body and feeling differently about things.
Okay, yeah. So I have written about the concept of a cis gaze. That would be the point of view cis people have on as trans people, and that is transcripted in the movies, Write and Shoot About Us. And I tried to balance it with the existence of a trans gaze. And you've just said that your point of view and the way you tell stories is entangled with your transness. So do you believe in the existence of a trans gaze and what would it mean for you? What do you think it means?
I do believe in it. My director of photography is a straight cis white man, and the first thing he asked me when we were preparing for the movie was, "What's the trans gaze, and how do I get a little bit of it? How can I have some? Give it to me." And I was like, "Whoa, whoa there!" No, but it was interesting to have it asked so directly. That was like the first time that it wasn't a philosophical question. It was like, we need to shoot a movie, so what is the trans gaze? And we kind of started talking about it. And I have my theories, but I think there is a trans gaze. It's an extension of your point of view. It's the idea that you know that the body is always on display, that when you walk into a room, you're either clocked or not, either there's an ally, or maybe you're completely under the radar. But discomfort and discomfort with the body, I think, is very part of the gaze. And it's also the trans gaze is like the one that looks at the female and the male gaze and understands that everything is coded, that to be comfortable is a privilege. I think, I don't know, there's a lot of, I think the trans gaze gets mixed up with just the gaze of the otherness, of the unbelonging of things. And I think something that if it's okay to get specific, I don't know if any of this is useful, so you can just tell me to shut up.
No, it is. It
But
is gone.
there's a scene in my movie, in a laundromat, where two characters, explore each other and make out, and it's pretty sexy, in my opinion. But when I showed that scene to a test screening, half the room thought it was really sexy and wow, what's going on? This is great. I'm turned on. And the other half was very scared and felt like it was very uncomfortable and that they couldn't trust the ex-boyfriend who's a straight man that was going to hurt the trans character. So there was half and half, right? Good and bad. And to me, that's kind of what the trans gaze is about, is understanding that every moment, even your happiest moment, can become a tragedy, and that you are always half present but half worried about what this outcome can be, right? Even if it's, you hook up with someone on Tinder and then you're their first trans person, it's going great, but all of a sudden they freak out. That can always happen. And it sucks. It sucks that that's part of the trans gaze, but I think there's a sense of tension. I think trans people are really good at making thrillers, is I guess what I'm trying to say. Like, either sexual tension or this tension, but like tension, always like the idea of being tight in terms of observing your surroundings. Yeah. Kind of sad.
Actually, I'm glad you bring the laundromat scene on the table because it was very interesting for me. I'm going to get specific too. I wrote my thesis on the topic of trans representation, but especially on the way trans bodies are portrayed through mirrors in
Oh yeah, we love
our
mirrors.
cinematic culture. Yeah, we do love a good mirror, but most of the time it is used in order to hurt the trans person because what they see in the reflection is not something they are pleased with. And it's typically what happens in that laundromat because the character does not want his body to be seen, and the other one uses a mirror reflection in order to see it without him knowing. And I don't even know if I have a follow-up question there, but or maybe it is how aware were you of the history of mirrors in the movies about us when you shot that? And did it play a part in the way you conceived that specific scene?
I've made shorts before. This is my first feature, and I have extensive mirror sequences in my shorts of trans people seeing themselves. And I would say I was pretty aware of it, and at the same time, in that specific space, that's a much more unconscious thing that came out. And I wanted to other the lead trans person from his own body in the scene. I wanted the audience to see his body reflected before they saw it directly in person. I thought that was like a, I don't know, that just felt right. Like, to me, that is the trans gaze, right? Like, to see your body reflected. And I thought it was, I didn't want to sensationalize the body. I wanted to, it's a hard, like, the first time you see the scars are when like up close is when the other character is touching them. And to me, I'm not trying to like hold the tension and be like, ooh, look at these scars. But I just wanted to show them when it was necessary to show them, which is actually just physical contact, whether the scars were there or not, if that makes sense. I'm not really answering your question, but I think I am. I will say, in conversation with the trans gaze and mirrors, I think bathrooms are an interesting place for trans people. Not pu public ones, yes, sure, but private bathrooms. And I think they're interesting in the sense that it's simultaneously a space of great anguish and at the same time of security, because when you close the door to a bathroom, no one can come in, right? That is your space. As a human being, like, you can actually lock yourself in the bathroom and be alone, explore your body. And at the same time, it's like a place where, right, you see this reflection, and you don't recognize yourself. But I really like bathrooms. I had so many bathroom scenes in my movie, and the director of photography was like, "No, we can't do this. They're so small. We can't shoot in them." And I was like, "You don't get it. Bathrooms and trans people were so close." So there were more bathroom scenes in there. The whole kiss sequence at the end and the fight with the two characters was in a bathroom. They were
Okay.
like, "Yeah," and my DP was like, "I love you, but we can't do this." Like,
Oh,
fine. But I just think bathrooms are really interesting. Yeah.
one shot from above, when he's puking in the toilets. It's like, I'm guessing it's like the only place where you could put the camera, but it was a great,
Thank you. No, we could put it in other places. I just wanted I wanted him to feel claustrophobic and like
Yeah.
hungover in the shot itself. Yeah. And that's, I think, claustrophobia, unrequited love for others and for yourself. I think these are the themes that the trans people sometimes just are wrapped into. I wanted to, that's why it's shot 4x3. It's like that, to give that claustrophobia, and to also have like a portrait of a trans man, this and that. But I'm digressing.
No, I think the whole movie is a bit claustrophobic because you're like, how and when the hell is it going to get out of this? Because it's a movie about the Murphy Law. If it can
Yeah.
get if it can get worse, it will get worse, and only gets worse. Like
Sorry.
the moment they locked the keys and everything in the apartment, I was so pissed. I felt that, and I was like, no, give him a rest. He deserves a rest.
No, he doesn't get a rest. Originally, I had written this. At one point, I wanted to give him a cast. I wanted his arm to be in a cast, and I was like, "Okay, you gotta stop. You gotta stop.
Yeah.
You can't just torture your character. What's going on here?" But I think having a movie like this and having a character that gets to be a little bit of an anti-hero, that gets to have a 24-hour story where things are mundane, but then they're also very, very dramatic. I haven't seen a trans person just exist on screen for 24 hours. You know, I wanted to give them a hard day, that they were like not just a taboo or a martyr or anything. They're just kind of a stupid 20-year-old, 25-year-old, that has a shitty day in New York.
Yeah.
New York is a hard city. Things happen. It's a great and awful place.
And that's also a big part of making him reliable and understandable for the audience, because we've all had fucked up days where nothing is going the right way. So I think it's a pretty good way of telling people, yo, we're just humans and it's fucking hard for everybody, and it's not hard
Yeah.
because he's trans, it's just hard because it is.
It's just very hard. I don't know how recently you saw the movie, but there's a kind of a monologue that Fenya gives in the gas station after he's been fighting with his dad. And I feel like that monologue, as a trans person, when I wrote it, and then when we were on set, and every time I see it on screen with other people, I think that's something that we're all like waiting to say to people, which is like, life is really hard. Like, can you please leave me alone? Like, I don't need one more person or one more thing telling me that I'm fucking up or that I'm bad. So.
Yeah, it was quite relatable. Relatable, yeah.
Yeah, the whole all the scenes in the car, with the dad in the car were like very real.
Yeah.
And about that, one interesting thing I noticed is that usually it's the trans character who is creating a sense of sadness or anger in the people around him, them, and so usually it's the wife who is upset, it's the parent who is angry. And here it's the opposite. And the fact that Fenya gets the right to be angry and to show it, I think it's quite important. And how was it? Because you said that we don't have many trans masculine representation on screen. So how was it to write that character in a world where no other character like that exists? In a world where usually trans people just shut up when they face transphobia. So how do you write a character who is reacting and who is defending themselves?
Ah, man, hard question to answer because I'm so in it. It's hard for myself to pull out of. Like, to me, I wasn't writing a trans character that was doing that. I was writing a character that is aggressive sometimes, that feels misunderstood, and they're trans, right? So I didn't. I just want, yeah, did that make sense? Like, I wasn't trying to tokenize him. I didn't sit down and say trans people deserve this and that. That was just kind of the character that came out. And I think part of it is because of who I am. I'm a pretty go fuck yourself person. Like,
Yeah.
I was once, I'm that person. I'm the, like, can I please just sit down in peace and quiet? I've been fighting since the day I was born. Can I just have 1 second off? And it's very gratifying to see a trans person yell at someone and say that on the screen. And I think we're so polite and we're like, no, it's okay when you misgender us. No, it's not fucking okay. No. So can you please respect me? Can you give me space? Can you love me? Someone asked me recently, like, what would the character want out of this movie? Once you see it, like him, if he was a real person. And it was a sweet question. I thought about it and I was like, I think he just wants to be left alone and for someone to say that he did a good job, that he's okay. I think that's all he wants. He wants a hug, just like anybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to give him a hug, like
Yeah.
quite often.
He needs a hug. Everybody needs a hug.
The last shot is, if I remember correctly, is like
What's it called?
hugging the shirt, his ex's shirt in the bed.
Wait, the last shot, like above down, that he's. What was the question?
It's
Is
not a
he
question.
hugging?
It's just like
Oh.
I feel like Fenya was hugging the shirt in the bed.
That's sweet.
And yeah, oh God.
Yeah, people cry.
Yeah.
People usually cry. I love it.
So that's my two next questions are more about what was around the movie than what's in it. The first one is, how was it working with a trans actor? Were there other trans people on stage and around it with you? Who did you write it with? Like, how much were trans people a part of writing that story and shooting it and being on stage? And you also mentioned a test projection. So I'm guessing you asked for feedback from trans people before playing it. So yeah, let us know about how trans people
Sure.
were in that.
Involved? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I wrote it alone. So super trans in the writing process. It was just me, myself, and I. And then none of them, it's I, there's so many different ways I could answer this question, and I'm gonna not try not to be too long, but it's interesting whether trans people were present physically or not. Like, it was always part of how we were making the movie. In America, you have to find financiers to give you money. And the first half of the money that we got, it was three different people, and all those people either had a son who was dating a trans man, or had a older brother who was trans, or just knew someone that was trans and felt like there needed more of this in the world. So the people that were kind of supporting us monetarily, I think, were very involved with trans people. But then I'm trans, Leo, the lead actor, is trans. Finding him was a really long process. You know, it was a 2-year process because I
Okay.
really wanted a trans person, obviously, but also finding a trans person who is half Latino was very specific. And there came a point where I was wondering if I was going to have to cut that whole thing out and just make them white or make them Serbian because I'm half Serbian. And I found Leo and it was incredible. We had the, a lot of, there were team members, camera crew, lighting crew. I was trans. I think as a trans person, my producers were like, everybody on set has to be trans. And I was like, absolutely not. We're not paying them very good money. Let me get like a bigger budget and I'll bring everybody trans. Like, why am I gonna, if they wanna work for no money, sure. But like, why don't we use the cis people to work for me for no money? And then, you know what I mean? I feel like
Yeah, I like
sometimes
that.
people are like, go, 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 go. But there were a lot of crew members that were trans, and a lot of my friends, because I come from lighting, so I've been doing 8 years of lighting in New York City. So my friends are all kind of in the crew side of filmmaking, so I was able to just bring my friends, whether they were gay or trans or cis. Yeah, and then in the editing, I mean, I guess just my friends, but they happen to be trans. But I had like my friends like look at it and tell me if they were feeling good or not. And I think I was also just very led by my own intuition and my knowledge of trans stuff. And now, I mean, we're still so in the world of firsts. Leo Neal, who is the actor, was the first trans person, mask or femme or anything in between, to ever win Best Actor Award at Sundance, the best. So it's like, which is amazing, but it's also sad that it's like still the first. But it was great working with Leo. It's the same as like dating another trans person. There's so much that doesn't have to be explained. You just get to be a person. You just get to be a director with an actor and kind of forget the rest. And he had never acted fully as himself on screen. You know, he had little roles in TV shows that were like cliches of trans people, like The Hacker or whatever. I don't know why trans people or gay people are always like hackers in the show. But this was the first time that not only was he playing out and trans and masked, but also a mixed race person. So he was like really stepping into who he is as a person and showing it on screen. Was that an answer? Did I answer your question?
Yeah, that's
Okay.
good. And also, I was thinking that it joins a bit what you mentioned earlier with Jenna about being an activist. Because it's a real struggle to be able to produce art and to just
Yes.
do things without having the burden to be an activist through what you do. So I was also wondering if you felt that way on you and if Leo felt it too, and if you had any help, if you talked about it together, how did you feel about that?
About the activist part of it all, or
Yeah,
more in general?
about the maybe the burden of having to be a figure because you were doing something new and you were doing something special, maybe. So how did it feel?
I mean, that burden for me was felt from day one, trying to convince people to give me money and to tell a story that is trans, where people are like, why is anybody gonna care? And why should we trust you? So I was feeling that from day one. And the idea of, I mean, I remember being in meetings with pretty important people being asked if I had bottom surgery, if I was thinking of doing that, and me being like, what the f are we gonna fuck? Like, why are you asking me this question? Excuse you? So, and I think something, I was so shocked when you asked me to describe myself in the beginning of this because I was like, wait, you don't want to talk about how I'm the first trans? I don't know that. And I think I'm so excited to talk about transness all the time, but sometimes the filmmaking of it gets buried. And that's a constant thing. I think the first moment As a filmmaker, I'm mentally ill in the sense that I need to make movies. There's no other way for me to live in life. So I wasn't even thinking, okay, like once the movie's out there, what am I gonna do? Am I gonna be like kind of a public figure? I'm gonna be out to everybody, whether I want it or not. And I remember being media trained. We had like a trans, we had GLAAD, who is we had GLAAD talk to us and media train us, and it was nice because they acknowledged a lot of things that I wasn't even aware of. Where I was like, we had m made the movie, we were premiering at Sundance, and it was the first time that someone was sitting us down and saying like, you're going to be asked to represent the entire trans community, and you might not want that burden or not even know how to deal with it. And that was really nice to hear a trans person who was versed in that subject matter. How do you answer a question that you don't want to answer, that nobody should be asking you about? How do you talk about, you don't talk about trans representation, male versus female. It's not a fucking subject matter you owe to a cis person. Like all those things were really, really great to hear, because I feel like that was the first time that someone was saying, let me describe the burden and lift it off a little bit. And that was really, really nice. And give them tools, right? I think me and my producer, I'm actually in my producer's house right now. We're exhausted and we've been working nonstop, but I think I was trying to count. I think I've done around 40 to 50 Q&As, like with a live audience. And it's almost like hard to explain to him, like he's exhausted and I'm beyond that in a way that is indescribable, because every time I step on the stage, I'm physically saying, hi world, I'm trans and I'm in front of 300 people and you could be anybody, and I'm prepared to get a fucking terrible question, which hasn't happened actually. It's been actually really, really nice, but you never know. And that like constant like edge that I'm put on is exhausting. And it's only been trans people who have asked me if I'm doing okay with this, or like, are you tired of talking about something incredibly personal? Like, are you doing okay?
Yeah.
I am, and I'm not. I'm so tired.
Yeah, well, it's almost over and you'll be
No, it's never gonna
somewhere
be
else.
over. I just need a
Yeah.
little bit of sleep.
You can sleep on the plane from to the US to Paris. Yeah. That
Exactly.
that's your
Enjoy
sleep.
your jet lag when you
Yeah.
arrive.
Oh my God, yeah. It's awful.
And I have a last one, which might be weird, but I ask it to every trans director I meet. Say, who did you make the movie for?
Myself. For
Okay.
me, for my younger trans self, for every trans person out there who feels alone, for every young trans person out there, for my little sister. I ran away from home and I left little sister, so it kind of started as a love letter to her. But yeah, I made it for trans people, and then cis people happen to also like it, but don't tell them that. Don't tell them that at all. I don't know. I feel like when I watch movies that don't have trans characters, I'm like continuously doing like emotional acrobatics in my head to feel like I can, that I can be the love interest, or that I can be the hero. And I wanted a movie where you don't have to do that, where like you're tired one day, you just turn on Mutt and you can do your homework or do your housework and that's fine. I just wanted to create a best friend for someone.
I love your answer. Yeah.
Great, yes, I passed.
You did, and I think the hardest part for me in the translation will be like not sobbing when doing the voiceover is going to be
Oh
tough.
God, yeah, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
No,
I
that's
was,
fine.
yeah.
Yeah, I
It's
think
emotional.
yeah,
It's
it
hard.
is.
Yeah. I did a Q&A yesterday with Silas Howard, who is he's this amazing filmmaker. He was the first trans man in Sundance to like have a movie. 20 years ago, 23 years ago, a long time ago. But he's the first trans filmmaker I knew of. And he's the EP in my movie. So we did a Q&A together and he was like, oh, I'm so grateful for to be part of this. Like, it's so important, this and that. And he was done with his answer because they were asking him how he was involved. And I was like, I just looked at him and was like, Silas, whether you were physically part of this or not, your life is what helped me become a filmmaker and make this movie. Like, I am standing on your shoulders, whether you were my EP or not. And I like choked up a little and I could see that he was like, oh my God, feelings. But it was really nice to be able to say that in front of a crowd and be like, thank you so much for your service. Like, we salute you. Yeah.
Literal veterans, yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah, I'm done, and I am almost liquid because it's 41 degrees Celsius outside,
Okay.
and it's 35 in my apartment, and I need to go get a shower or
Yeah. Please, please,
yeah,
please.
and I'm going to
Well,
the
this is
movies.
great.
I'm going to the movies in an hour to benefit from the air conditioning.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Sweet. Well, this is really great.
Thank you very, very much for your time and your general happiness and
Of course.
good
Yeah, I
humor.
guess I'm a happy guy.
Yeah.
So weird. I used to be such a punk. I had a mohawk. I had two piercings. I was so angry all the time. So it's weird to be a happy person.
Do you have pictures of
Yeah, I
that?
do. People used to call me girl with the dragon tattoo.
Yeah, you
Oh.
usually don't ask pictures, old pictures to trans people, but yeah.
Oh, but I'll show you them. Yeah. Well, would you mind giving me your email? Is that too forward? Do you want to write it down?
Thank you so much, Vuk, for your time, for your generous answers, for the pleasure you sent in the world with your movie Matt. I'm impatient to meet you face to face, hopefully soon in Paris. And you listeners, please remember that if you feel alone, that no one cares or understands, there is a community waiting for you, ready to support you. Don't hesitate to call for help. I hope you enjoyed this first English episode of Our Trans Voices, and I hope you now want to peruse our archives. Keep sending me your ideas and wishes. Everything is read and appreciated. If you send an audio comment, it could be played in the next episode. Go have a listen to the other podcasts of our and RE Collective. It also sounds great in English. That's New Radio's Euphoria on NRE.fm. Please leave likes, 5 stars, and blue thumbs anywhere you can. Talk about the podcast around you. Everything helps the visibility and the acceptance of our lives, one ear at a time. Thank you for listening to our trans voices. Merci d'écouter nos voix trans.
Where are you guys based?
I'm in Paris.
And I'm in Lyon.
Okay, cool.
And you, where are you?
I am in Los Angeles right now, but I don't live here. I live in Brooklyn. But I'm gonna be in Paris for 3 months.
Oh,
So,
good.
yeah, if you like me after this, maybe we can grab a coffee. But yeah,
Probably.
anyways.
My questions are almost like designed for the host and the guest like to fall in love. So
Perfect.
do you want to give us your email address as well so I can like send you the things? Okay, easy.
Easy? You think that's easy? People cry when they see
I mean it makes sense. Like I don't like have
that.
to spell it every day.
Yeah. You just have to copy paste it.
Yes. Yeah, that was a
Right.
big factor in choosing a first name and last name for me.
I'm stupid. I like just was like, oh, I'll just keep the one. It's stupid, stupid. I should have. Wait, I'm copy pasting your email. I should have chosen something different. I wanted to call myself Sebastian, but it's too late now.
It's never too
Made a
late.
movie.
All right, yeah,
I think that when you make a movie and you have a career,
Yes.
I think it is too late, but it's okay. Sweet. How long is the thing gonna be in the end?
I'm apparently an hour and a half.
Wow. Sweet. Well, this is really nice. There's a breath of fresh air amongst other talks surrounding the movie. So it was really sweet.